Welcome, all you believers, idealists, skeptics, and all those who question the universe around them. I'm Bailey.
And I'm Ty. Welcome to Cult Talks Conspiracy.
Before we unseal this file, we wanted to fill you in on some really exciting news.
For as little as $3 a month, you can be a part of our pursuit to hashtag question everything by clicking the support the show link found in the show notes of each episode.
Your support would mean the absolute world to us and help us dive deeper into the mind-blowing conspiracies you, Ty, and I all love.
Thank you for joining us, seeking the truth, and as always, question everything.
You're listening to a Cult Talk Network podcast.
File access granted.
Hello, all you believers, idealists, skeptics, and all those who question the universe around them. I'm Bailey.
And I'm Ty.
And welcome to today's episode. It's kind of like a whodunit, but in the reverse.
Okay, interesting.
I don't know.
Interesting way to go about it.
I don't know. That's kind of what I think about it. Let me know if you guys agree by the end of this. But we are talking about some deceptively dead people today. As you probably noticed, we've got a new little title thingy
bobber
in there, a little segment. So these are people who could have died, who probably maybe not could have not died. And when I was doing research for John Dillinger, of course, my mind was going through, you know, Billy the Kid's like this, Elvis is like this. There's, you know, quite a few of them. So, and of course, I want to do them all. I want to know about them all. So you guys are going to come along this journey with me and we're going to learn about them all together. So,
excellent.
What That's do you interesting. Think?
I'm very interested. I know, of course, Elvis, he's not dead. He's in a retirement home in East Texas.
Yes.
And that's where he's at. He's friends with JFK, and he fought a mummy once. So I know the truth of Elvis. The other two, not so much.
And of JFK.
Yeah, of JFK,
and of
course.
JFK. We know the truth of that, too.
Took his brain out.
Yeah, but this one was fun. I really liked this one. And I'm always talking about the like 1940s and like the Cold War era. Today, we're going to go back a little bit further. We're going to talk about the gangster era.
Ooh.
And I always wanted to be a gangster.
Yeah. Yeah. I got, for my high school, like senior year, I had Al Capone was my celebrity lookalike.
That's
like growing up, which I did look a lot like him growing up.
So. I got to see this. I need to see the photos.
I'm sure I have it somewhere. I have it somewhere, I'm sure.
That's awesome.
Did probably not. I threw a lot of that shit. I don't keep a lot of stuff like that. So.
I have pictures I made from like third grade. Like it's like I'll need this one day. No, you won't. Did you act like Al Capone? Were you like the big boss?
No, I every year like for prom, I remember like 2 years I went to prom, I had like really nice like suits I wore, like a fedora and stuff like that.
Aww.
I played into around prom season, but
yes.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it so much. I just love the fashion in the gangster era. Can we just have a moment and just talk about the fashion?
That was good stuff.
It's a good look. Let me tell you, it's a good look.
Yeah, really good look.
I love it.
They had some nice duds back in the day.
They really did. And I mean the layering as well, the jewels and the layering and the mustache and the hair tweaking and everything. I mean, guys do that today, but it's not quite like, you know, the little finger mustaches.
I'm not a big fan of those moment. Little pencil mustaches.
Little pencil. They were all over the place back then. I was looking up photos and I'm like, gosh darn. Even, side note, we're going to talk about both these fellows. Even Babyface Nelson, after John Dillinger passed away, when you look at Babyface Nelson's postmortem photos, he also has a stash like John Dillinger's, that pencil stash.
Interesting.
Which I found was very interesting. I'm ready to get into this. I'm so excited. Are we excited? We're going to find out if he's dead.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to hear about these deceptively dead folk.
Let's unseal file number 015. John Dillinger. So, Tyler, what do you know of the man who died by the woman in red?
The only thing I know about John Dillinger is from that Johnny Depp movie. That's it. That's as much as I know about John Dillinger.
So I haven't watched the Public Enemy.
Public Enemy, yeah.
Public Enemy, yeah. I haven't watched it yet. But I heard it's good. I also heard it's really long. And I looked up some IMDb stats on it. It's got a good cast. It's got Christian Bale, Johnny Depp. IMDb? Yeah, that one.
IMDb.
IMDb. What did I say?
IMBD, you said?
We're damn hard. I talk all the time, guys. Like, oh, it's terrible. Anyway, they're like, yeah, you're a woman. Of course you talk all the time. Anyway, but yeah, so I was looking up stats on that. And I mean, it's got a good cast, but, and it's 2 hours and 20 minutes long. So set some time aside. But
I love gangster movies like that. I love all kinds of shit like that. Gangster Squad. Mm. All that. Those are good movies. Back in the 90s, made a lot of good ones.
I literally just quoted it, and I can't think of the name of it. I feel so stupid. I keep thinking of Gangs of New York.
The Untouchables? The Untouchables, maybe? That's a good one.
No, it's from a boy. I always wanted to be a gangster.
Oh, I don't know. That's stupid. So.
Babe.
Not sure on that one.
What is that movie? Goodfellas. Goodfellas. Good, thank you, Ben. Oh, I'm so ashamed of myself right now for not remembering that. Oh, I'm so sorry. That's one of my favorite ones. I love that movie. I even like Gangs from New York. Like, I know we're not talking about
That's a pretty good one.
We just watched
that. A big one when it first came out.
Mm-hmm. We just watched that not too long ago. So, John Dillinger really didn't always want to be a gangster, but he definitely was always in trouble. Even from a very, very early age, he was always in trouble. He was born in 1903 in Indianapolis, and his sister had actually raised him. His sister was 13 years older than him because his mom had died when he was only 3 years old of a stroke. So really super horrific thing. And then your teenage sister, who's still kind of raising herself, is now raising you. It's bleh!
Yeah.
So John and his family and his siblings had a good upbringing, but John would actually start a gang as a kid called the Dirty Dozen. As a kid, started this gang. So they lived in the city, and I mean, so John's dad really did blame the fact that he grew up in the city and grew up in like this glitz and glamour environment on why he got into so much trouble. But it still doesn't excuse the fact that when the Dirty Dozen was up and around, this gang, along with John, terrorized this boy and actually kidnapped a kid as a child. Like, jeez. Kidnapped another kid as a child. And I'm like, what Jesus the Christ. Frick? Like, oh, buddy, you're a fool. Handful's not the right word for you. So after all that happens, Papa Dillinger is like, I'm not having any more of this. So he moves the family to a small town called Mooresville, Indiana. And he thought, you know, I'm in this smaller town in this new environment, you know, kid's not going to be acting up anymore, not around the same stuff, you know, as someone would think. But John just seemed hell bent on being bad. And he would make his way back to Indianapolis, where he was, you know, from. And while running from the police, he actually enlisted in the Navy. And why was he running from the police? He was running from the police because he stole a car and took it over state lines. Or I'm sorry, he hadn't taken it over state lines yet. That's later. Sorry, guys. Anyway, but he did steal a car and he was running from the police. So where does he decide to hide? He decides to hide right behind Uncle Sam and enlists in the United States Navy.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
The Army.
Oh, yeah.
Go whatever away from your trouble. Go to the military.
Yeah, it's fine. They're not going to do a background check. It's fine.
Just disappear into the military complex.
Yeah. How long do you think that lasted?
He's a troublemaker, so I don't know. Probably not long. What, year?
5 months.
5 months.
Well, you gave him a year. That was generous. So he actually lasted 5 months before going AWOL. And what's very interesting is he actually fled his ship, which was the USS Utah, which was just a few years prior to it being hit by Pearl Harbor. Or not hit by Pearl Harbor, to the Pearl Harbor incident. So then after he would go AWOL from the Navy and, you know, be running away from that, it became really hard for him to find jobs because he was AWOL. He was also running from the police. He had a record, all of this good stuff. So trying to make a good living, also is trying to, you know, settle down. He actually ends up marrying pretty rashly. And he would live with, you know, her parents, and it was a crowded household. He would join a sporting team and would actually like be a big role in that sporting team as well. He was an upholsterer. He tried to live honestly, like actually gave it a really good shot, trying to live, you know, a good, wholesome, honest life. Like, he's getting married. He's, you know, a part of a sporting team. He's in his community. He's, you know, doing upholstery, which is hard. So,
yep. So he's really trying to turn it around.
He's trying to turn it around at this point. Yeah. Or at least you'd think. So that was when he started to just, you know, pick up old habits. And he actually had a run in with the law when he was caught stealing 41 chickens.
41 chickens?
He got 41 chickens, which, I mean, nowadays, I mean,
that's gold.
That's gold right now.
Dozen
eggs are $5 right now. I've never seen shit like that. I've never been so happy that we don't eat eggs in our house ever again.
Oh, I eat eggs like crazy. I have eggs for breakfast like every Friday, and usually Saturdays I'll make eggs and spam.
I don't know. Big eggs and spam.
I'm a big eggs and spam guy.
Is that an Ohio thing?
I don't know. No,
is that just a Thai thing?
I don't know what the fuck spam's made it up. I don't care. I love spam.
That's a lot to process.
I don't know what comes out of that can, but sure is good.
That's gross. There is a sign. I missed it this last time we went, but there is a sign once you get into like Michigan on the Adrian side that has a jarred spam billboard, like pickled spam. I'm sorry. Pickled spam is what it is. Pickled spam. I have no idea what this stuff is. I don't know where you're getting it. I don't know what you're putting in it, but I mean, okay. I'm glad it's available to those. I don't think I have, but honestly, like just looking at it, it kind of reminds me, and I'm really sorry because I know there's a lot of people who like it out there. It kind of reminds me of Gypsy's like soft food that she eats.
Yeah.
That's what the consistency reminds me of, and it just grosses me out. I can't do it.
It's probably made in the same factory, I'm sure. One line goes into the spam cans, the other line goes in the Albert
cans. Don't like that.
Sure is good.
Nope, absolutely not. I hate that.
I'll get some spam sometime.
He'll do that, not tell me what it is, and be like, "You're eating spam, by the way."
Oh, you'll know what it is.
I'll know what it is.
Yeah, there ain't nothing like spam.
Well, I wonder if, well, actually, John Dillinger and his buddy, when they went to go rob a grocery store, did not take any spam. They did try to take some money, though. That wasn't documented. So John Dillinger and his friend would rob a grocer named Frank Morin. And Frank would actually kind of fight back. Well, not kind of fight back. He would fight back on John Dillinger and the other guy that was trying to rob him. Actually, well, I guess he couldn't. I guess he could, because like he's shooting his gun. Anyway, I'm fast tracking. I'm very sorry. I'm very excited about this story. What happened was, John Dillinger and his friend go to rob Frank's grocery store. And John Dillinger's friend is riding in the getaway car. He's like, okay, I'm going to wait for John. This is my job. He's going to come back with the dough. It's going to be great. Dillinger goes in to go rob the grocery store, you know, stick him up, give me your money. And the grocer then pulls out a pistol of his own and starts shooting.
Starts blasting him.
It's the US of A, baby. So even though no one was hit by the fire, John Dillinger would still run. And his partner that was driving the getaway car had actually already left at the sound of the gunshots. So he was like, GTFO, I'm fucking leaving. No, I didn't want a part of this. That grocery store cannot have that much money in it.
I can't imagine grocery store robberies being that lucrative.
Oh my God. Do you know how much grocery stores make in a day?
I'm sure they make a good bit of money, but I imagine a lot of it's digital transactions. Well, I mean, back in the day.
Yeah, back I still feel like back in the day, you're at least getting a few, if not several hundred dollars back in the day.
Oh, yeah. And that was probably thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because when I was a property manager, there was a grocery store that we had rented out. And I mean, they grossed like mega thousands. Like, it was ridiculous how much they would do in a day. Or not even a day, in a week, they would do like $1 million weeks. It's like, it's ridiculous. Wow. Ridiculous. But that was corporate, and that's a whole other world. Okay. So life would be a bitch, and both men would then be arrested. So they got no dough. John Dillinger's now got more trust issues, and they are both now arrested. So yeah. John Dillinger actually thought that he would not really have that harsh of a sentence if he pleaded guilty, because at that point, nothing was on his record. Nothing was there to state like, hey, this is a bad guy. Because for several years, he had, you know, kind of been an upstanding citizen, and, you know, well, upstanding is a bit of a stretch. But anyway, he was a community member, was keeping his head down. So Dillinger would have the book thrown at him. He would actually be given 10 years for his crimes, and his partner would only be given 2. So John Dillinger gets 10 years for trying to rob it. His partner gets 2 years for driving the getaway car. But unfortunately, his partner would reach a very tragic fate when, prior to his sentencing, he would fall into a drunken stupor and then accidentally land in train tracks.
Wow.
And then, you know.
Lucky him.
He didn't have to serve 2 years. He got an eternity.
He himself 2 years of hard time.
Just didn't have to do it anymore.
Not a bad way to get out of a jail sentence.
I mean, woof. Hope you had some good drinks, man. Hope you did. Yep. Okay. So in prison, John Dillinger, he fought. He tried to escape. He gambled, and all of this during in prison. And he was actually noted for quite a few different escape attempts. In prison, he actually, because, you know, John's a hustler, he actually became the Dillinger Gang, led by Harry Pierpont, who was actually suited to lead the gang. So while John Dillinger was kind of the front man and was kind of the spokesperson for the gang, it was really Harry Pierpont that was running it. That was like, hey, you need to go here. You need to do X, Y, and Z. You need to, you know, making the plans. So it's kind of like a, what do they call that? Like a silent accomplice?
All right. Yeah, that makes sense. It's not like a string puller kind of. Like
Yeah. I keep thinking of the term ghost writer, but that's not the right term for it.
It could be like a ghost. I don't know. Like a puppeteer is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Back here, just pulling the strings. Yeah. Make sure everything goes good.
Like, I'd be afraid to piss Dillinger off, but I feel like I'd be afraid to piss Harry off more.
Yeah.
Just a wee bit. So just because it's like, Dillinger's straight up crazy. Like, you know what you're going to get when you're standing in front of him. Harry, I feel like it's like, I've got people for that. That's a whole other level. So Dillinger actually had about a dozen members who all would ultimately either die, because we're foreshadowing here. Well, not foreshadowing, but telling the future a little bit. So all of the members of the Dillinger gang would either die in shootouts or in the electric chair. So, which is very interesting. Like, if you were part of the Dillinger gang, it was not. And this was the Dillinger gang was composed in 1933. And then in 1934, Dillinger, along with Babyface Nelson, who was a member of the Dillinger gang, both passed away. Both were shot. So just a little tidbit there.
Interesting.
So how are we doing gang work inside of prison? Well, Dillinger and the rest of the Dillinger gang would coerce guards into letting each member of the gang out with large sums of cash. So these members of the gangs were getting out, even getting out early at certain points in times, with these large sums of cash that they were giving the guards. How were they getting these large sums of cash? They were planning robberies. Where were they robbing? Grocery stores, drug stores, banks, all that you can think of. Who was doing it? John Dillinger.
Ooh.
So.
Old Johnny boy.
Old Johnny.
Strings.
Old Johnny. So John Dillinger would actually be the first of the gang to get out. And what's really funny and kind of just, it's almost ironic because the first really major robbery he does is in this grocery store, and it only lands him $100, which I want to know. That was in...
What was that?
I'm looking up the currency now. In 1932, the sum of $100 would be about $2,000 or $2,033 today. So, I mean, it was pretty good hit, but it still wasn't going to be enough to get all of his gang members out of prison. Luckily, he was a very fast learner. So after several robberies, he finally had enough cash to plan, get the guns, get the hideout, smuggle people from the prison, get them broken out that they could, get the ones they could. In total, he raised about $40,000.
Nice.
Which is like big money.
Pretty good money, yeah. So what was it? How much did he get out again?
He got $40,000 to get everything together.
$40,000?
$40,000.
Wow. Damn.
$40,000.
That's pretty good. Because what, $100 came out to $2,000?
Yeah. So
that's some money.
866,000 and a half dollars.
Damn, just shy of a mil.
So just shy. You're
damn,
hitting a little
go,
over
go a
three
long
quarters.
Ways back in those days.
You're hitting a little over $750,000. Woo! So that's how much it took to plan for everything that the Dillinger gang was getting ready to do. However, something tragic happened once the Dillinger gang all got out and were able to meet up at their rendezvous/hideout in Indiana. What happened, you ask? Well, Johnny was arrested and being held in none other than Lima, Ohio.
Ooh.
So he made his way over to Ohio. So while he was awaiting trial, the Dillinger gang, oh, so sweet of them, decided to come out and break out dear old Johnny. They were not moving forward without him, which, I mean, was kind of sweet because, like, they were like, we're not leaving our man behind. Like, we're all together. Teamwork. So they would break Johnny out in October, and the members would then travel back to their hideout, and Johnny was successfully out of Lima, Ohio. So the Dillinger gang would average about one bank robbery per month, and they were supplied with police arsenals, machine guns, bulletproof vests, rifles, and ammo. So when they prepared, they truly prepared. Like, they were going in the best equipped that they could. They actually did rob police armories in order to get this equipment.
Interesting.
So this is like police grade. They're basically fighting with the same equipment that the police are at this point. So it's a pretty, I don't want to say even fight, because you have people that are willing to do things that the police wouldn't have been, or that a normal police officer wouldn't have been willing to do.
Yeah.
But you also have things on the, just to keep it all even, there are gangsters willing to do things that normal people are just not willing to do.
Yep, that's what makes
them
gangsters.
True. That's true. Babyface was bad. Dillinger was all kinds of crazy. So 13 police officers in total would actually be killed by the Dillinger gang in Tucson, Arizona, which would be the gang's last stop on their little robbery tour. And this was a huge, huge deal. And this was really the height of when Dillinger became public enemy number one. If you go back, and I was actually looking at this, it's pretty cool because the FBI, or back then, the Bureau of Investigations, the BOI, as it was at that point in time, didn't actually start to really get involved until Dillinger stole a car and took it across state lines, as we mentioned earlier. It was right about then when this started to happen. So the FBI started looking at him, and they already knew, like, this guy was going to have a massive target on his back. He is not afraid to, you know, go into these public spaces, cause public danger, and he's not even afraid to kill police at that point in time. And it's a major different world than now. It's a major different world then than what we have now. Like, people just didn't do this kind of stuff. It was weird. So the hotel that some of the gang were actually staying in caught fire. The hotel was evacuated, and in an attempt to regain some of their belongings and possibly even a lot of the stolen money, one of the members actually offered to pay a firefighter to go up and collect their luggage. Now, I almost wonder if the translation in this is a little bit kind of just crossed, because I don't want to think that like they would be like, hey, will you go up and get my stuff? Because they have stolen materials in there. And like, if I had $750,000 just hanging up there, I wouldn't send somebody else to go get it. I'm going and getting it myself.
Oh, of course.
So
of course.
That's why I'm kind of like, I don't think they offered to pay him. I think they were trying to pay him to let them go up there if there was even payment involved. Because I mean, I'm just going in there if it's mine. Like, So the firefighter was actually a detective and recognized the members almost immediately. So they then arrested the members of the gangs. And unfortunately, Harry was one of the ones to be arrested very shortly after at a traffic stop. And then John Dillinger himself would later be arrested by police while at his bungalow, which is a fun word, bungalow. So John Dillinger would then stand trial in Indiana for the death of Officer O'Malley, which was one of the police officers that he shot during one of his prison escapes. So there was lots of media, and he escaped jail again while he was in custody for standing trial in Indiana for killing an officer. And the way he escaped jail is really bizarre to me.
Crazy.
It's really bizarre to me because there's two different stories. One story is that Dillinger was able to escape jail because he was able to get access to a pistol from a police officer and then was able to, you know, force his way out without, you know, killing anybody. He did, however, take two hostages to ensure his safety while he was getting out. Later on, he would, you know, he held the hostages at gunpoint the entire time, driving in a car, trying to get away. And the other story is that he actually carved a gun out of wood and used a fake gun in order to escape.
Okay.
Still taking the two hostages.
That's pretty ingenious.
Yeah. It is. It is. So I don't know. It's weird. But this is where the famous card line comes. When he let the two hostages go, in both stories, it also said that once he let the hostages go and he just drops them off on the side of the road, nowhere, like out in the middle of the nowhere, he looks at him and says, "I'll remember you at Christmas," and then drives away. Like, do you know how many Hallmark cards those are in now? "I'll remember you at Christmas."
Oh, yeah, of course.
I remember, like, that came from John Dillinger, everybody. If you use that, that's where that came from.
"I'll remember you at Christmas."
At Christmas. And like I said, at this point, the FBI is officially now involved, because at this point, John Dillinger has taken said car across state lines. And him taking this car across straight lines, three shootouts ensued, killing some of his partners and some of the partners of his. So John Dillinger, unfortunately, did kill some of his gang members in some of the shootouts, but he got away. And even more unfortunate, his girlfriend, who he had stayed with a part of during his travels trying to get from one place to the other, would also be caught, and she would eventually be arrested for harboring a criminal.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, if you fuck with Dillinger, you're getting the book thrown at you.
You're getting it.
So some
public enemy, number one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were not messing around. When they said public enemy number one, they're like, if you're involved with this guy whatsoever, like, you're going to jail. Like, we don't care what it is you're doing. Like, you're no. So at this point, John actually may have underwent some plastic surgery to sort of reshape his face and hide his identity a little bit. It's also rumored he may have used acid to burn off his fingerprints. Which is interesting. We'll get into this little tidbit later. So have you heard of the Lady in Red, or why that's like such a big thing? Because I remember hearing of the Lady in Red as a kid.
I've never heard of it.
Really?
I've never heard of this urban legend, whatever you want to call it. I've never heard of the Lady in Red.
I guess it's more of a saying. I don't know. Because when like I
song Lady in Red, that song.
I haven't heard that one. I should have listened to that prior to this one. But when like my parents and like great, not great aunts and uncles, but aunts and uncles and grandparents of mine would refer to the lady as red as like someone that would like finger you out, that would like call you out on something.
Yeah.
Basically tattletale on you. Right. And this is where we start to get into her, and I'm very excited. So Polly Hamilton, not the lady in red, but we're getting there. Polly Hamilton was actually a teenage runaway prostitute at a brothel or a bordello. Who was owned by Anna Sage, the woman in red, Anna Sage. So the brothel was owned by Romanians, including Anna. And Anna's motivations were solely based on the reward money, which at this point, John Dillinger had a great price on his head of $10,000. And that's wonderful. However, I feel like if you're offering reward money for someone who has stolen $250,000, offer them $250,000 and or $750,000, offer them at least a $25 million and they're going to, serve them up for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Here you go. I caught your man. Here it is. Man, that would be like when they caught the Night Stalker. When the neighborhood ran after that, if you offer $25 million for a criminal,
that'll do it.
That would do it.
Money talks. Money talks.
Money motivates is what that does.
It does.
So JD had about $10,000 on his head for his capture. So not only was Anna Sage thinking of the reward money, she is also, remember, she's from Romania. She's running an illegal business. She's also in this country kind of illegally. So she's also thinking about a potential green card. Like, okay, I brought you one of your public enemy number one. Instead of deporting me, how about you just give me a green card and $10,000 and we call it square? Sounds like a good deal to me. So Anna would actually reach out to the FBI or the BOI at this point. And she would actually strike a deal with the FBI, and they would coerce this plan for Anna and John to go to the movies, and the FBI would be staged around the movies, and FBI agents would be all around in plain dress clothes. And once they came out, one of the sergeants would give a signal, which was to light his cigar, and that would be to approach Dillinger and to arrest him. Okay. So Anna's very aware of this. And Anna was also told to wear a bright color to help them better spot out her and Dillinger as they came out of the movies. So Anna and I keep saying Anna. I don't know if it's Anna or Anna. A lot of them just refer to her as Sage or Miss Sage. So we're going to go with Anna because it feels right. So
more alluring, more provocative.
Anna. That's what I'm going to start calling Anna from now on. I'm going to be like, Anna. So the couple would go to the Biograph Theater in Chicago, Illinois, and they would actually go to see a film starring Clark Gable. Now, I looked up films that had been released in 1934. The one that I could find was actually It Happened One Night, which was a rom-com with Claudette Colbert. Very cute. I love Clark Gable. I love him. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. love him. So they went to go see this film. They saw the film. Afterward, Anna was instructed to bring, John Dillinger out. They were coming. And then next thing you know, John Dillinger was face to face with the police. And this was after the sergeant had lit his cigar and gave them the move like, hey, it is time for you to come on about and come get this guy. Now, according to FBI reports, Dillinger then reached for a pistol. The FBI agents shot him first while trying to escape. John Dillinger ran into the alley, but was shot in the back of the neck. The shot actually entered through the back of the neck and was right at the shoulder. So if you're thinking of like the base of your neck into the shoulder, went in through back and just kind of catty-cornered its way through. And that would ultimately be the shot that killed John Dillinger. So let's talk about the agents right quick before we get into Miss Sage and talk about her. So there were actually 5 shots fired, 3 of them hitting John Dillinger, who then fell face down onto the pavement, which was probably the shot that went through his neck. And at 10:50 p.m. on July 22nd, 1934, John Dillinger was pronounced dead. So we think. Anyway. So there were actually 3 agents who shot John Dillinger. It was Carl B. Winstead, Clarence O'Hurt, and Herman E. Hollis. Each were commended by J. Edgar Hoover for their fearless and courageous actions. However, none of them would say who actually shot John Dillinger.
Interesting. Okay.
I thought the same thing, but then I also thought to myself, like, but yeah, if I was the officer that shot public enemy number one, like massive big boy gangster, best friends with Babyface Nelson, I don't want people knowing that. No, true, thank you.
Yeah, it would be this thing where it's like, you know, won't be prideful and be like, I'm the guy that killed John Dillinger, but also that's probably a lot of attention on yourself from a lot of people you don't want attention from.
I feel like if someone were to be like, no, Clarence did it, I'd be like, no, I didn't. You actually did it. And just like keep the blame rolling around. Like you're never going to know.
That so makes sense.
Here's something very, very funny that I kind of loved. So J. Edgar Hoover actually had a $10 bet on if they would catch John Dillinger or not.
Wow.
It didn't say which side he fell on. I don't know. J. Edgar Hoover's pretty like for, you know, I mean, he's president. He was president. So, I mean, you got to be pretty for the country. But I feel like he was like, no, our guy's got it. So little tidbit there. Now we're going to talk about what happened to Miss Anna Sage. So Anna, instead of getting her $10,000, only got 5.
Oh.
And then she was very quickly deported back to Romania.
Wow.
I know, right? They're like, here you go. Bye.
That's like, crazy.
I hope USD works in Romania.
Yeah, that's shitty.
That was awful. I was like, oh my God. But I mean, it just goes to prove that they were like, if you are messing around with this guy, we don't care. We do not care.
They don't want her in here. Yeah.
We don't. We truly don't.
Makes kind of sense, but man, that's kind of shitty.
It really was. Because I bet she wouldn't have done it if she would have found out she was getting deported prior.
I doubt she would have been able to go along with it.
No, because I mean, even if they were like, yeah, we'll give you 5 for it, I don't know, I would take the $5,000. That seems fine to me.
Yeah.
So she was coined the Lady in Red, but it's actually a bit of a misleader because Anna was actually wearing orange. It was actually an orange colored dress that got coined as red. She was told to wear a bright dress so that they could spot them out more, you know, easily. Which it kind of became famous because of what is written where John Dillinger met his demise. And what reads in the alley beside the Biograph Theater in Chicago, Illinois, is, stranger, stop and wish me well. Just say a prayer for my soul in hell. I was a good fellow, most people said, betrayed by a woman all dressed in red. Dun, dun, dun.
Damn.
I know!
It's pretty poignant. Damn. That's good.
And that's just there in the alley, just yeah, that's it. Like, I want to go see it though. I really do.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah.
So now
I've been to Chicago a couple of times. I've been.
Oh, I want to go. Check it out. I want to go.
Chicago's a fun city.
So now that we're about a little over half hour into this, now are we ready to get into the conspiracy part of this?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I love a good history lesson, guys.
Yeah, of course.
So the conspiracy is it's not him. The conspiracy is the FBI did, in fact, not shoot John Dillinger It is a lookalike. It is a copy. It is someone that they were like, yeah, we've got John Dillinger. The problem is going to go away now. And here is why there are those who think that. So John Dillinger's eyes, and this was all according to his Navy records and his driver's license as well. So according to his Navy records, John's eyes were actually a blue-gray. The deceased, when they went and did the autopsy and examined the body, were recorded as the eyes being brown.
Okay.
So big flaw number
pretty
one.
Pretty big there. Discrepancy, yeah.
Really big flaw. Now, doctors did come out and say that after a body has, or that after someone has died, the eyes can change color depending on the age of the body, depending on the conditions. It's a thing. Like, it can happen, but I feel like, I don't know. I've got opinions on that.
I've never heard of that. Yeah,
I've never heard of it either. And like, I worked in medical and like, we always throw out like weird trivia facts like that. And I feel like that would have been one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let us know in the comments if it's true or not.
There's any morticians out there, let us know.
Yeah.
So John Dillinger actually had lots of scars on his body from, of course, being shot, being in fights in prison, being in fights in general. The deceased had no scarring on his body. Just a few on the face that were covered, but that was it. John Dillinger never had any heart conditions, but the labs and the biochemistry all showed that the deceased did have heart conditions. Well, maybe not labs. I'm going to say imaging, but I mean when like they opened him up and like saw things.
Okay.
So John Dillinger actually had perfect eyesight, but the deceased wore prescription glasses, and this was something that they could all see. Now, this was all back in 1934, so about 88 years ago, close to 87, 88 years ago now. So very here recently, as of 2019, the Dillinger family actually did question if it was truly John H. Dillinger in the ground where he was buried. The Dillinger family themselves. Wow.
That's interesting. So the family actually
The family's actually questioning it, yes.
Interesting.
So in 2019, his great-nephew Michael would actually file to exhume John Dillinger's body from Crown Hill Cemetery in Indianapolis. At this point, his body had been there 85 years, so about 88 years now, roughly, right? Is that how math works? Yeah. 89. Math be hard, guys.
I ain't gonna try.
Just, I'm out of that. So why and how were they going to do this? So why, we already know the question was, is it really Uncle Johnny in the ground? How are they going to prove it? Well, they were going to take the bones of what was in John Dillinger's grave and test it against the surviving Dillinger family. Now, this was in 2019, so we're all pretty up to date on that. It was possible to scan for DNA. Keyword was. So this was going to be all very, very well and good. And the dig up was actually set for September of 2019. The announcement came just a few months shy in July of 2019. However, they did not ask Crown Hill Cemetery.
Oh, they didn't even ask the...
ask the cemetery. And let me tell you, when you don't ask a property manager if you can do stuff on their property, they are going to get mad.
Yeah.
They are going to get big mad.
I'd imagine so, yeah.
So Crown Hill Cemetery said no. They said, you cannot do this. And in a statement made by management, they said, we also have concerns that the complex and commercial nature of this exhumation could cause disruption to the peaceful tranquility of the cemetery and those who are visiting their loved ones, the statement read. What's commercial about it? What's commercial about it is the fact that the History Channel was actually involved and were planning to film this as a documentary as they went on this journey to really see if it was John Dillinger in the ground.
Right.
So this was a big, big deal, not only for the family, but for all of us watching as well. And I'm sure the History Channel had a little bit of investment going in there as well.
Of course.
So Michael then... Dillinger's great nephew would then appeal to the courts and another nephew of John Dillinger's, his father as well, who they would go to Marion County Superior Court, and they were basically trying to bypass or overrule Crown Hill's decision to not be able to exhume the body. But ultimately, the courts would side with the cemetery. And the Dillinger family did have a right and an opportunity to appeal. However, the Dillinger family decided not to pursue the appeal. The History Channel, which was involved, did end up kind of backing out as a result of that decision to not appeal. And they did not go any further with the story. But it still begs the question.
Yeah.
Is it him?
It's still a mystery.
Is it him? So I also had a cute little note about what John Dillinger died with in his pockets. I had a tab. I no longer have a tab.
What do you take your notes in? Like, is it like a gigantic tome you just write in random pages? What is it?
So
how do you have a hard time finding things in this book? What is it? What are you writing in? Let me see this.
Here's the thing. So this is all I have. I'm actually there now. So I have this one book that I keep everything in. Uh-huh. And those who have just one notebook that they keep everything are going to know this. And like, I don't like to just like do things. Like, I want to keep it all in this notebook. So like, I will scribble on different pages. I have little note cards that I keep with the pages, all to keep it in this one page sequence.
Uh-huh.
And that's just how my
is it like all so like everything you do throughout the day is that what you mean like all your
no
like,
just all the this is my CTN like
your
notebook
your works okay
no
okay.
This is just for CTN, so this is where my CTN mind goes crazy.
I have a notebook like that too. Mine's pretty organized.
Yeah, no, I'm writing things down. I'm like, I'm not finding things that are kind of concise, but I want to continue this, so it goes on a little notebook, it stays on the little notepad, and then it gets stuck to the thing where I want to say it.
Yeah.
And that's how that works. So it's great when I'm telling the story in sequence. It's not so great when I have to go back and find something. Anyway, I found my note about what John Dillinger died with, by the way.
What did he die with?
He died with. So the only thing that he was carrying on his death were actually his pistol, his watch, and a photo of his first wife in his hat. And it was cute. Because that's he did not stay with that first wife after he left and went to prison. He was
what a weird thing to take with you when you're going on a date though with someone.
I mean, I can't say nothing. Well, I mean, it's not like I can't say nothing like that. It's like I don't understand.
Pictures of ex boyfriends you take around to dinner with you and Ben or what? That's a weird thing to take with you on a date.
Well, I mean, no, that's not what happens. That's not what happened. I mean, it was just like a different time, you know, like
I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know. Because, I mean, it never actually says that like they, like, separated. So maybe he was just fooling around on her and, like, was keeping up appearances.
Perhaps. Perhaps. You never know.
I don't know. But to this day, in even past attempts in 2019 to find answers, to this day in 2023, do not have a solid answer on if it is John Dillinger in the ground. And to answer this, what some people may have suspected has happened is that John Dillinger actually went to LA and retired there and just lived a very peaceful, nonchalant life with $750,000. Which you could do that.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
But
spend it right, you could live pretty well, pretty good on that.
Absolutely. But I mean, the thing, there's a lot of controversy about this. I am one of the people that do not think that the post-mortem photos and of John Dillinger and living photos of John Dillinger are the same thing. I don't believe that's the same person. It doesn't... Like the ears, a big thing is like the ears. His ears are protruding outward, which, to be fair, he was shot in the back of the neck. That is going to make all kinds of things like move and go in different spaces. Plus, the photos were taken days after his death. If you don't know this, the body actually puffs up because of gases and water and oils that are in our bodies. Mm-hmm. That don't have anywhere to pass. So our bodies will puff up and swell because those gases don't have anywhere to go. And that even happens in our face and in our head and in our neck.
Right.
So that could potentially make the ears protrude out.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that happening.
That's not my problem with that, though. My problem with it is that the ears are not the same shape.
Ah, okay.
And I haven't heard anyone else say this. So, I mean, guys, go back and look at the photo of photos when John Dillinger was alive and his postmortem photos and tell me if you think the ears are the same shape. Because I don't think his inner ear is the same shape in the two different photos. I actually think his inner ear on the postmortem photo is more pronounced.
Okay.
And it's smaller. It's weird. It's more pronounced, but it's smaller. So, and then of course you have the pencil line mustache. So, I mean, if you find photos where he doesn't have the pencil line mustache and are like, oh, it's not him. Well, I mean, you know, people look different with facial hair. I get to experience it about every 4 months with Cult Talk Net when someone decides to get a mustache without approval. And, you know, we got to change all the artwork.
Oh, this thing will be here for a while. I feel like it's probably be with me for a minute.
Will it really?
I added to the cover art.
You did. I noticed that.
Yeah, it'll probably be here for a minute.
I didn't notice it at first. Honestly, like I was like, something looks different with the cover art and I can't put my finger on it. And then it took me a good 15 minutes of looking at it like, what do you think? Do you think John Dillinger?
There's a lot of things to say it's not. I don't know. I mean, it's not an unreasonable to think that back in those days, someone could do that. Someone could just disappear.
Mm-hmm. It would have been
who'd they kill? Who'd they kill though? Is my
some Joe Schmo.
Some hobo or some hobo or something.
Some Joe Schmo.
Wow, that's sad.
I mean, if you look back into it, it really wasn't that hard. I mean, listen. So there was also a thing going on at that time where people were basically getting and selling bodies for science. For medical examiners and colleges. And you can make a pretty good buck off of that. And the police knew about this. So, I mean, if they were like, yeah, we've got to make a body come here and happen now. Like, they knew where to go. They knew what to do. Yeah. They knew who to pay. Like, they could make it happen. Sure. Especially if you've got it going all. And I mean, there were hundreds. I mean, well, maybe not hundreds. I don't want to say hundreds. But there were a lot of witnesses to this. Like, it's happening in a packed movie theater. They're running all the way down the alley. You can still find interviews of, you know, people that were there. One interview that I watched was a 96-year-old recalling what happened while he saw John Dillinger run into the alley, and actually said he could see the sergeant like holding a cigar, kind of shaking, like, oh, which I mean, if you're catching Public Enemy number one, yeah, I'd be a little nervous too.
Oh, of course.
I don't know. I'm on the fence about it. I honestly wouldn't be surprised either way. If it was or wasn't him, I truly don't think the photos look like him. So that would be a little surprising, but I wouldn't be shocked either way.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's just so much that like back in the 1920s or 1930s, I'm sorry, because this happened in 1934, that you couldn't test and you couldn't like.
Oh, prove, yeah. Like, everything was still paper and pen and there wasn't really computers. Like it's.
I mean, they had fingerprints, but I mean, it was people looking at fingerprints and like
fingerprints. I think they still had dental records that time, maybe. I think. So yeah.
Yeah, and that
means still ways, but nowhere near as much as we're tracked now.
Oh yeah, yeah. You over there wanting to get the chip in your forehead, like
put it in, plug it in.
No. Nope. So that was John Dillinger. No, we're getting off that one. That was John Dillinger, guys. That was a
deceptively dead.
Deceptively dead. I've talked a lot.
That was a good one.
Thank you. That was a fun one.
I've never really thought about that much with John Dillinger, but man, that's some mysterious circumstances.
He's actually a little bit of a smaller one, and I was talking to some of my friends about it earlier in the week. Like, oh yeah, I'm doing, you know, I'm recording John Dillinger this week. And they're like, didn't he die? Like, you know, of course he died, you know. And so it's a little bit of a smaller one, but it's one of those ones where I got to break out the red yarn and the thumbtacks and, you know, connect the pieces. So it's a lot of fun. It's a really cool story. Plus that gangster era. Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
It's a good time. So that's what happened to John Dillinger. Interested to hear what you guys think. Jesus. Did John Dillinger die? Did he die?
Did he?
And let us know if you think that he did. Definitely check out the pictures of him post-mortem and alive. That's an interesting way to look at it. people can change over a couple of days, you know, if they're passed away. I'm sure there's a lot of things happen to the body, but I think there's certain limits to that. I'm sure you're not totally unrecognizable.
No. In the dead bodies I've seen. I used to work in an ER, guys. So, yes, people do look different after they die.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But not that much so. You can
definitely tell the difference between a living person and a dead person. Mm-hmm, but yeah, it's usually there's still some sort of recognition. But
your ear shape doesn't change.
Yep.
It shouldn't change.
True.
Shouldn't change.
The eye color, that's interesting to me. I want to hear if that's a real thing or not. Does the eye color really change?
I do too. I want to know. There was something about like the... I remember seeing a thing where it said sunken in, and I want to say that it has to do with something with like the blood vessels being sunken in. But honestly, guys, I'm pulling that out of my ass. So it might not be a thing. but yeah, if there's anyone that can comment on the validity of that, please do so. I'd be very interested.
Yeah, for sure. But that was great. File 015 in the books.
Done.
What happened to John Don? Jesus, why am I having such a problem with his name? John Dillinger. Jesus Christ.
It's Dillinger Dunn.
Dillinger.
It's in the books.
Couple weeks here, file 016, me presenting. I'm going to be talking about the survivors of Lemuria.
Ooh.
And that's going to be a fun one. So we're going to talk about some mysterious lost civilizations. And if you guys listen to file 013, the Richard Shaver mysteries, he mentions Lemuria in there, so you can check that out for you. Listen to this new episode if you haven't already. And this is the first part of what might be a little mini series for Bailey. Yeah, you never know. She might do more of these here soon. We'll have to keep an eye out.
I love these little, like, did they die? Are you sure?
That was a really good one. I like that a lot. Yeah.
I love them. They're awesome.
That was excellent.
Thank you.
But yeah, I think that does it for us here on Cult Talk Conspiracy. Make sure you guys follow us on all of our social media outlets at Cult Talk Net, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, all the things, and let us know what you think happened to John Dillinger, because I'm interested to hear what you guys think of it. And if you think he's dead, or did he go off to Hollywood and retire with a pretty nice bit of change in his pocket?
He got a bigger bungalow. That's what he did.
Oh, for sure.
With a moat in front of it so the police can't come in. But yeah.
I could see him like going out there and like kind of doing what he was doing from prison, just kind of puppeteering some little small time criminals just for a little extra petty cash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe he became the Harry of the Dillinger gang. Maybe he decided not to be the front man anymore and decided to pull the strings from behind.
That would make sense. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, of course. Once again, follow us at Cult Talk Net on all the things, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, all the stuff. Cult Talk Conspiracy here every other Tuesday. Cult of Campbell every Monday. And this is actually our 2-year anniversary month for Cult of Campbell. So we got special content over there for you guys. Check that out. And Cult of Lore, that comes out every first and third Thursday, maybe Friday, of the month. And they also put some really great videos up on YouTube at youtube.com/culttalknet. And I encourage you to go check those out. If you like Cult of Lore, if you like Warhammer, like this lore-based stuff, check out their YouTube for a little added visual experience. They put a lot of work in those. Mm-hmm. So check those out. I think that does it, Bailey. You have anything to add, or are we closing things out here?
We're closing things out. So I'm...
All right. Well, until next time, I've been Ty.
I've been Bailey.
Question everything.
Question everything.